So many things going on today. It's wonderful. Last week we got to read one of my favorite psalms, number one, the one that kicks off the whole set, like the first song on an album. And we talked about how it uses that image of a tree planted and growing next to a stream of water. Those who trust God are like that tree. They're nourished by everything good and they bear good fruit. Today we sing another of my favorite psalms, number 104 this time. And Psalm 104 is a celebration of the life that God has created. In the verses preceding those that we sang today, it references light stretched out across the heavens and the waters that cover the face of the earth. There's the animals that wander and the birds that fly, even mountain goats and badgers who hide out in rocky cliffs. The sun and the moon are there, and people who go about their daily work. You could lay it right up alongside that story of creation in Genesis 1. And there's a symmetry to it all. It's almost like the author of Genesis and the psalmist are telling the same story. Today we enter into the psalm for the last stanza. The singer's just getting to the part about those strange, huge creatures sometimes seen as they surface above the face of the waters. Today we would call them whales. But perhaps to the eyes of this ancient wanderer, they are fantastical beasts which God has created just for the sport of it. The psalmist praises God for all of the food and good things that come to the creatures of the earth, including us humans. And he can't help but exclaim, "What a wild and wonderful world you have created, God." That's actually how Eugene Peterson puts it in his translation of the Bible called The Message. And Peterson does something that helps us see what's going on here in a better light. To read verse 24 of this psalm, the first one that we have in front of us today, in most of our Bibles it says, "How manifold are your works. In wisdom you have created them all." And we probably think that this means that God created everything out of God's deep and thorough understanding, God's vast knowledge of all that is, God's wisdom. But what if I were to tell you that wisdom here, this wisdom with which God creates, and the wonder of all that is good and beautiful in the eyes of God, wisdom is a companion of God, a friend, a co-worker. The Hebrew Bible, that which we call the Old Testament, often personifies wisdom, makes it a God alongside of God, or a part of God with which God relates. Wisdom isn't just some cosmic knowledge, but a companion with God who helps and guides and directs the actions of God. Peterson has verse 24 say, "What a wildly wonderful world, God. You made it all with wisdom at your side. You made earth overflow with your wonderful creations." And then in verse 30, "When you send out your spirit, they spring to life. The whole countryside in bloom and blossom." There's no getting around the fact that we humans are relational creatures. Like other creatures of the earth who live in herds and troops, humans are not meant to be alone. It's not that we can't be alone. In fact, some of us recognize that alone time is nurturing self-care. But we are relational. We rely on one another. We care for one another and expect others to look out for us. It's a matter of survival. But it's also about how we are made to love one another. We are part of one another. And we exist not just because we are individually made, but because we are connected. As the story goes, when God created the first human, God
recognized that it was not good for the human to be alone. And so God made all of the animals and brought them before the human as a potential partner, but none of them were best suited as a companion. Not until God put the human to sleep and took out a part of that human and thereupon created an equal was this deep need for relationship fulfilled. If God created human beings in the image of God, and if God is a relational God, as expressed through this relationship God has with wisdom, then we too are not complete until we are relational. Which brings us back to the psalm. The psalm isn't a celebration of creation in the abstract. It's not like a photo on a tourism brochure or a video of a cat on the internet. The psalm is a celebration of our relationship to and with creation, our partnership with all that God has made, and all that God continues to give creation, the gifts that come from God, the wisdom who abides with God. Back in verse 16 of the psalm, the psalmist refers to the trees of the Lord. That's how it's phrased. But he doesn't use that same language to refer to people. It never says the people of the Lord, as perhaps is said in many other parts of the Bible. And many have said that this is a nod to the fact that we are not above or better than the rest of creation. A way of thinking that has compelled humans for millennia to use and abuse the good things of the earth. But if the trees are the trees of the Lord, even as we are the people of the Lord, does that not mean that we are not equal to the trees? And what about the bears of the Lord, or the elephants of the Lord, and the water and the air and the soil of the Lord? God, with wisdom at God's side, made this world to be in relationship, to provide for each other, to love and care for one another. And two other quick things about the psalm. Verse 29 recalls how it is God who takes away the breath of creation. When there is no breath, there is no life. But when God gives the breath, life springs forth. Again, our English Bibles play tricks on us. They talk about taking away the breath, but sending forth the Spirit. Actually, it's the same word. Breath and spirit. Ruach in Hebrew. Ruach is the spirit of wisdom, that indwelling of God that has been with us since God first breathed life into the human made from the mud of the earth. The psalmist ends with praise the Lord. That's how it says it in the Bibles that you have. In our hymnal today, I noticed actually late, just as we were doing it today, that the word there actually is hallelujah. That's what praise the Lord is translated as. But the word in Hebrew is hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Do you hear the breath in the word hallelujah? Hallelujah. Ruach. Breath that comes. Spirit, wind, breath, relationship, praise, fullness of life, and fire of love. It's all connected. It's all that we have been made for and all that is who we are, as it is the fuel of the persistence and providence of God's eternal wisdom. It is also the Spirit that enlivens and binds us to all of God's creation. So when the disciples at Pentecost are filled with this same Holy Spirit through fire and wind and words of languages that had never been animated on their lips before, it is the same wisdom of God enlivening the world and calling us to be in this world with and for one another. At Pentecost, Peter speaks of God's deep longing for the world to be united in praise and hope. This is what God has desired from the beginning of time, when all will hear and see the unique blessings of each and trust in the goodness provided through diversity and nurture the talents of a wide variety of people and creatures. Upon all, Peter says, God will pour out his spirit, his breath, his wisdom, his life-giving power to love one another, his image, which is fundamentally relational. This is the birth of God's church. This is the purpose of all that God has done throughout the history of humankind. This is God living in and with us, that we may become the people of God. And every day in God is a great and glorious day. The Alleluia of Easter is repeated and sent forth in the Alleluia of Pentecost. God's breath is in us, and we are sent forth to share this relationship of God, the Creator, the Wisdom, the Savior of all the world. It's part of each of us. It's in our gifts, in our talents, in our work, and in our play. It's in Evelyn as she grows among the family of love and a communion of faith. It's in the ways that we here at Bethlehem reach out into a world in need to serve and to provide. It's in the outpouring of care that comes from every effort of goodwill and grace toward others. It's in the strangers among us who look and sound different from us, from what we're used to. It's in those we often see as enemies because we have been told that they don't believe the same things we do. Pentecost is a new creation, a creation as bold and beautiful as the one celebrated by Psalm 104 and every other part of the scriptures. It's the birthday of a church created to live as God's very flesh and blood here in this world. Pentecost is a new creation, but it's not the last, because God is making us new every day. God is breathing into us the life that will be the wind and fire of Pentecost to burn away the sins of greed and single-mindedness that are in us and carry us on wings of gentle care and hope for all the world. Pentecost is God's hallelujah living in us and through us today.